Joining me now, Congressman Jared Huffman. Hi, thanks for calling.
Good to be with you.
We'll start as we always do with opening statement. What's going on in D.C. this week?
Well, a lot is going on this week. We ended last week with a really interesting development. The Republicans were unable to pass their own highly partisan farm bill. And there were some interesting machinations that contributed to that. But the bottom line is it was a terrible bill. It would have slashed food support for millions of Americans. It had none of the progressive reforms that many of us want to see in a good farm bill. But it was interesting politics that brought us to that point. Meanwhile, we have two unique parliamentary maneuvers moving through the House of Representatives. This may seem a little arcane to most people, but they're called discharge petitions, and it's basically the way members of Congress can band together, and if they can get 218 signatures on a petition, even if the Speaker of the House doesn't want something to come to a vote, they can force the vote. And so that's now happening on two big issues. One is protection for the Dreamers, or DACA. Speaker Paul Ryan does not want this to come to a vote, but we're really close to getting 218 members to force that vote. The other is on net neutrality. And you know that a couple of weeks ago, the Senate passed a bipartisan pushback of the Trump FCC's attempt to end net neutrality. So we're trying to do something like that here in the House. And I'll just leave one last thing. This is kind of a long opening statement. I apologize. But lest you think all we do is fight with each other and with the Trump administration back here, and mostly we do, but there is one glimmer of cooperation going on this week in the House. It's called the First Step Act, and it involves prison reform. It is nowhere close to the gold standard of prison reform and sentencing reform that I and many others want to see, but we actually have a bipartisan consensus to take some incremental steps to expand good time credit, to require that prisoners be housed closer to their homes and families, to provide some dignity for women who are incarcerated, to expand reentry programs, to help reduce recidivism and help people succeed as they leave prison, and also expand the compassionate release program. So this is a bill that many of us are supporting, but it is kind of dividing the Democratic caucus and the Republican caucus in some interesting cross-cutting ways. It'll be on the floor this week. There you go.
That is interesting. I wouldn't have just picked prison reform as a subject that would be, you know, that would engender bipartisan support. So that's kind of surprising.
Yeah. It's engendering bipartisan opposition, too. So there's just some real interesting cross-cutting politics with this issue.
The next segment is called Oh Snap. And it does have to do with the farm bill, what I saw described as the $800 billion plus farm bill. So you mentioned some of the reasons why you were opposed to it. You were a no vote on that bill. But also, you were one of the reasons the bill went down in flames was because the Freedom Caucus opposed it as well. What was the nature of their opposition, and do you think that the revised farm bill, when it comes through, will be something you can support?
Here's what I think happened. The Freedom Caucus was not so much opposed to the farm bill as they wanted to make a statement and try to leverage it to try to stop this discharge petition on the DREAM Act. They are just mad as heck that Paul Ryan is not engaging in, you know, really aggressive procedural parliamentary maneuvers to stop this discharge petition. And so they are trying to find a soft spot for their fellow Republicans and kill the farm bill. That's what's going on.
Okay. And just one small matter on that. I understand sort of the historical reasons why the SNAP program is included in the farm bill. But is it, I mean, maybe this is something that could never happen, but would it make sense to sort of separate SNAP legislation from the farm bill?
You know, if you did, you would decouple the coalition that has allowed supplemental nutrition to exist with bipartisan support and all of these farm subsidies and farm programs to exist with bipartisan support. When you decouple that, urban representatives who, you know, don't represent Iowa and Arkansas have no reason to support all the subsidies that go to those ag programs. And very rural representatives in some cases don't support school nutrition and other things that are in the farm bill. So it's a very, I think, a risky political strategy that could unravel things for both sides.
We move on now to our next topic, which is called Not Yet Neutrality. That pun's a little tortured even for me. As you mentioned, the Senate recently approved a measure that would restore net neutrality safeguards that were recently removed by the FCC. And in the House, you recently signed on to a discharge petition to force a vote on a similar measure. What do you think the odds are of this succeeding?
Well, I still think it's a bit of an uphill climb to get 218 signatures. The big internet service providers are going to lobby furiously against it. But this one has tremendous popular support across party lines, across different demographics. So it's possible we could get there. And then, of course, President Trump would probably veto anything we passed. Because it was his FCC that took us back against the prior administration's net neutrality rules. But I think what it shows you is that we're pushing this issue. We're not going away. And there is, I think, political traction to this that is going to continue. We'll fight this in the courts. The politics will eventually turn around before they can really lock in the worst of the bad stuff. And hopefully we can protect the internet.
So hypothetically, if a new Congress came in, if the Democrats took the House after the election in November, would the Senate legislation that has passed have to be revisited? Or if there was a change in the moods of Congress in the House, would the Senate legislation still stand?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm pretty sure that it would have to be revoted. I think everybody turns into pumpkins when the Congress goes away. But I will check into that.
Okay.
Either way, the votes would be there, I think, in a Democratic House to pass a bill like what we saw come out of the Senate.
We'll move on to our final segment, which is called Damn It. This is a holdover from a question I had for you last week, but I think it's still relevant. This refers to the Potter Valley Dam project.
Yeah.
There was a press release put out a couple weeks ago by a local nonprofit alleging some secret meetings between PG&E and county supervisors from Humboldt, Sonoma, and Mendocino. And I'll just quote from the press release. One section said that the goal of these secret meetings was to, quote, put together a plan to keep the Eel River dams in place. The scheme would move the dams out of federal licensing so as to avoid having to provide additional protection for fisheries, especially fish passage, close quote. You've been involved in these negotiations. What do you make of that press release?
I shouldn't comment too specifically on that. I'm trying to play a little bit of a different role in this, Larry. I'm trying to facilitate an ad hoc group that has pulled together the stakeholders on both sides of this, from the Russian River side to the Eel River side. And my interest is in seeing if we can find a two-basin solution that includes restoration and fish passage improvements on the Eel River, but also water supply protections for the folks who have come to rely on some of this water for the last 100 years on the Russian River side. You can't just completely shut that off cold turkey. There are some things we can do that I think could bring together a coalition that could make this a pretty exciting win-win outcome, but it's not simple. And if I'm going to have any success facilitating that, I'm going to have to not get down into the trenches on some of these competing charges.
Come on, you should take your negotiating tips from Trump and just send out a bombastic statement to alienate all sides.
I'll tweet what I think should happen, and I'll call people names, and yeah.
All right. One last quick bonus question. Who's going to win the Warriors-Rockets series?
It's going to be the Warriors. They're going to win the next game at Oracle, and then they're going to just end it.
Okay. All right. Well, we will watch that. Thank you so much, as always, for your time. I truly appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Bye-bye.